Good morning, church. It's great to be together in person. Man, it's great to be together in person. It's great to be together online as well, if that's where you're joining us. My name is Reese. I'm one of the pastors of our Trinity Church family, and has kind of been introduced already. This is the first Sunday of the Advent season. Advent being, we celebrate, look forward to the coming of Jesus at Christmas. That's what we're celebrating in this season. And with that, with being the first season or first Sunday of Advent, we are starting a new Advent sermon series called Waiting Room. Now, oh, there's my girls over there. whose kids are those? Pastor's kids. Hi. That wasn't planned. There's so much in my life that's not planned right now. We are jumping into a sermon series today. We're taking a little bit of a break over the holiday season from the Joseph sermon series, and hopefully we'll be coming back to that after the holidays here, jumping back into that story. But we are jumping a new sermon series called Waiting Room. And the reason why it's called Waiting Room is there is a lot, the fact of the matter, we spend a lot of our lives waiting. We spend a lot of our lives waiting, whether it's waiting at a red light, whether it's waiting at the doctor's office, whether it's waiting for someone to call us back, whether it's waiting for a loved one to get ready, whether it's waiting for your kids to just put their clothes on so we can leave the house on time. I'm not bitter about it yet. Maybe it's waiting for your coffee to brew. Maybe it's waiting for the right person to come into your life. Maybe it's waiting for the wrong person to leave your life. I don't know. Maybe this weekend you've been starting to start waiting on Christmas cookies, okay? Just waiting on Christmas cookies or things to bake, things to cook. We waited on a lot of good food this last week, many of us. Maybe you're waiting in your life for an apology. Maybe you're waiting for an apology in your life, or maybe you're waiting for someone in your life just to get their act together and start a relationship again. Whatever you're waiting on, we spend a lot of our lives waiting. A lot of our lives waiting. Now, here's the thing. Waiting is hard, isn't it? Waiting can be really hard. In our Amazon Prime kind of one-day shipping world, waiting can be difficult. It's difficult to wait on that promotion at work. It's hard to wait for that child, maybe they're older now, but that child to come to Jesus. It's hard to wait on a loved one to sober up and get their life together. It's hard to wait on a husband or a wife to rise to that occasion of being the husband and wife that we so desperately need in our lives. It's hard to wait in our lives. There's so many things it's hard to wait for. And waiting, it isn't just an everyday reality. It isn't just an everyday hard reality. It's not just a physical, mental, emotional thing. Waiting is actually a very spiritual thing. A very spiritual thing. In fact, God often, we don't often like this. I don't like this in my life. But God often uses times of waiting in our lives to form us spiritually, to strengthen our faith, to really get us ready for the things that we have coming next. It's times of waiting in our life that God really works in that season to do some pretty amazing things. So what's the conclusion we can come to? Number one, we all wait, right? Waiting is just a regular part of life. Number two, waiting is hard. It's hard. Number three, God uses waiting in our lives to build us spiritually. Number four, that means that waiting, times of waiting in our life, the waiting room in our life is super, it's extremely important to us, to our spiritual growth, to our growth in every area of our lives. So the conclusion we come to is that we have to get better at waiting, don't we? We have to learn what it means to wait faithfully, to wait in a godly way. And so that's what this sermon series is kind of about, waiting room, and taking the times, the room that we have in our lives where we wait, and what does it look like to wait faithfully in a time of waiting, of Advent, where we're waiting on the Savior to come, and we're celebrating a baby coming into the world, a God coming into the world, incarnating himself into our world, into our mess, and he didn't just drop in splendor and majesty. No, he dropped in as a baby. And that's already happened. We celebrate that, but we also have another coming to look forward to as well, don't we? When Jesus will return again. We're constantly when we're in this world, in this life, a state of waiting. It's the waiting room. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 today. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 2. It's a scripture I want to share with you today that's all about waiting. It's all about waiting. It's going to give us some clues into how we wait well, and it's going to remind us, it's going to encourage us that for those who truly wait, those who are really willing to wait on God in their life, there's always good things that come from that. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, let's pray as we dive into God's word. Lord, I thank you for just the ability to gather this morning, jump into your word, your truth together. Holy Spirit, would you just speak to each and every one of our hearts? You know where each and every one of us are at this morning. Would you speak to us in a way that we need? Would you challenge us? Would you encourage us? And Lord, just not just challenge us, encourage us to learn more this morning, but to live as we've been in your word. Maybe now live with our hands, with our feet, in our community. May there be things we take away from here this morning that we can apply directly to our lives in obedience to you. Lord, you say the ones who love you are the ones who do your commandments, the ones who follow, truly follow you. Following is an active thing. Yes, there's learning involved, and yes, we love learning, and yes, we love diving into more of your word and learning more of that, but Lord, it has to get to our feet. May it get to our feet this week and the coming weeks. May we be a people who don't just talk about waiting, but Lord, wait well. So much so that the world would take notice as we wait for the Savior. Savior, Jesus, that you've already come. But may we just wait well as we look forward to your second coming. As we look forward to the transformation that is continuing to happen in our lives, in the lives of those around us. So transform us here this morning, Lord. As I always say, they don't need to hear me. They don't need to hear illustrations this morning. They don't need to hear eloquent speech. May they hear the gospel. May they hear your truth. And may they take that with them as they go this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're diving right in. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 2. Pull it up on your smartphone, your tablet, whatever you have with you. But follow along. I encourage you to follow along this morning. Verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Now, I'm going to stop us here for just a second. Isaiah, the prophet, is writing this prophecy, and he's talking about he's kind of saying this before the nation of Israel would be taken into captivity. They haven't been taken into captivity yet, but they're experiencing increased opposition, increased hostility from the Assyrian army. In fact, they're sieging their cities, and it's a time of deep hopelessness. Nation of Israel is starving. There's no hope on the horizon. It doesn't look like this conflict is ever going to be resolved, and if it is, it's not going to be resolved favorably for the nation of Israel. No, they're going to be taken captive. It's a time of utter darkness for the nation of Israel. Maybe you're going through, you feel like a time in your life right now of increased opposition as we go into this holiday season. Maybe you're going through a time of your life where it just seems really dark. Maybe you're at a point in your life where things just seem a little hopeless. But I want to encourage you this morning that even in the darkest places, there is hope. Even in the darkest places, no matter what I could say this in confidence, knowing no matter what you're walking through, no matter how bad it is, no matter how challenging, no matter what kind of trial you're going through, even in the darkest places, there is hope. Even in this dark place that the nation of Israel was in, there was hope that was starting to shine into the darkness. That hope, it's the same light. Listen, it's the same light that shone in the darkness of the nation of Israel. It's the same light that's shining into your darkness today. And that light is the light of a Savior. It's the light of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take the cliche and I want to have us obey it. Hey, it might seem like you're going through a tunnel right now, a dark tunnel, and there might be light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to tell you, walk towards the light. Lean into the light. It's Jesus. There's a song I heard lately. I don't remember what the song was. It says, cracks are where the light gets through. Now, there might be cracks in your life right now. There might be darkness in your life right now, but those cracks are there so the light can penetrate through. Don't resist the light. Let the light receive the light. Let it come into you. Jesus wants to make a home with you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your light. Lean into that light in this holiday season. It's the first Sunday of Advent. We're going to say, lean into that light this holiday season. There's a reason why we go out, and we do this as a family, starting to every year. Maybe you guys do too, where you go out and you just kind of look at Christmas lights and drink hot chocolate and all that kind of stuff. No, we look at Christmas lights. There's a reason why there's a light on the Christmas tree. There's a reason why there's lights on our houses. It's to remind us of the light that's shining in the darkness. Just as the nation of Israel was shining, was starting to experience a little bit of light coming through the cracks, we can experience that same light in Jesus Christ this Advent season. Even in the darkest places, there is hope. Let's keep our heads up. Let's walk into the light. Isaiah chapter 9, we're starting in verse 3, we're moving on. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now, there's a lot in this section, but really what we're talking about is, okay, nation of Israel is in complete darkness. They're in a hopeless state, but they're starting to see some light kind of shine in through the prophecies that they know of, that the promises God has made to them. They start to see this light kind of seeping into their darkness as a nation. And now only are they kind of seeing the light shine in, they're kind of experiencing a little more and more of what's to come. They're increased, it says, they're increased its joy. Their joy is increasing. They're experiencing a little bit of victory. They're getting a little bit of a taste of freedom, of what it means, of what they're really, truly waiting for, this Savior to come, this Messiah to come and save them. They're experiencing a little more of that, a little more of that as they wait. This hasn't happened yet. They're still in an age of waiting, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the one who would come and save them from their oppressors, who would bring victory to the nation of Israel. They're still in a sense of waiting, but God is still doing something. This is just a biblical truth that we need to cling to. We desperately need to cling to in times of waiting. It's this, that God is always working in the waiting. God is always working in the waiting. We might think there's wasted time. We might think that there's time wasted in our life when we're spent waiting because we're so looking forward to the next thing. When God's really telling us, no, slow down, slow down. I'm working in the waiting. We might think it's wasted time, but let me tell you something. The sovereign God who has everything under his control, wasted time doesn't exist. Every single thing is a movement forward. Every single moment is a moment to grow us, to encourage us, to humble us, to prepare us, to make us hungry for what's next. Every single moment, including the times of waiting in our lives, God is always working in the waiting. As I was thinking about this past week, we might have used a device. Have anyone used a pop-up timer this last week? Are those like super old? Like, are those like, yeah, people are like, yeah, what are you talking about that? If you don't know, a pop-up timer is a timer that you would, kind of an apparatus that you would shove into the turkey, right? And as the turkey heats up, it pushes the little plastic little piece or plastic thingy. It pops it up outside of the turkey, signaling that the turkey is done, right? And if any of you are, if I'm explaining this bad, you guys could just jump in, whatever. I don't have a ton of experience with pop-up timers, but I thought this was really interesting this last week. But a pop-up timer only works if you shove it so far into the turkey that it gets to the inner core of the turkey. It's got to get to the inner core of the turkey. And that core has got to transform. It's got to change. It's got to heat up. It's got to get ready. And when it's ready, then the timer pops up, and it's signaling that it's done. It's ready to eat. The next is ready. I think a lot of us in our lives are waiting for God to pop up. We're waiting for the timer to pop up. But God is telling us, no, that inner core isn't ready yet. That heart, that soul that I'm forming in you, that spiritual life I'm forming in you, it isn't ready yet. And we might be tempted to take things into our own hands and try to be our own savior, try to be our own sanctifier and changer of our own hearts and take things into our own hands and be our own savior of our lives and maybe even the lives of those around us. No, we got to pull back and say, God, you are sovereign. You are God. I am not. I got to wait for that pop-up timer. God, you're going to let me know. In this time of waiting in my life, because you're always working in the waiting, I promise you, if you wait for it, and I'm still learning this myself, if you wait for it, God will let you know when you're ready to move on. He'll let you know. Gotta wait for that timer to pop up. When God's done working in that moment, in that season of our life, preparing us for what we have next, because he's always working, in the waiting. In fact, it's the times of waiting in our life that are often the most transformative times of our lives. Ask someone older who's done a lot of waiting in their life, right? We all do a lot of waiting. They will tell you it's in those moments when they were waiting on God, when there's times of moments of waiting in their life that God did the most transformative work in their hearts. It's a biblical truth. It's all throughout Scripture. 40 years in the desert. I mean, there was a disobedience there, so I won't go into that part. But 40 years in the desert. Moses, every leader, big leader you find in Scripture, before God did a transformative thing through them, he had to do a transformative thing in them. God is always working in the waiting. Verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So the nation of Israel is in a dark place. They're starting to feel the hope. They're starting to see the hope. God is working in their waiting. They're seeing freedom. They're starting to experience victory individually and corporately. And we do that as well. We experience hope corporately, individually. And they're starting to do that. And they're starting to look forward. There's a hope coming. And they're not quite 100% sure what that looks like. But they have the promises of the Lord, and this is one of his promises. There's going to be a child is born. There's going to be a son who's given, a Messiah given to the nation of Israel. And he's not just going to reign over the nation of Israel. He's going to reign over the entire earth. Now, some of us, the greatest times of waiting, or sweetest times of waiting that we might have in our life is waiting for Christmas, isn't it? Maybe when you're younger, your parents had, maybe it was like a ring of paper or a calendar or kind of an Advent thing, but you counted down the days until Christmas, didn't you? Many of you are doing that now with your kids, counting down the days to Christmas. And many of us have wonderful, wonderful, amazing memories of waiting on Christmas. And then Christmas Day would come and we have amazing memories of family and fun and traditions and gifts and presents and just love all around. But as I talked to some people this last week, I was just reminded that many of us waited really well for Christmas only to be disappointed with the day. Only to be disappointed with broken relationships, family not showing up, no gifts, no fun, no family traditions that have been built. It just ends up being some other day of the year. And I want to remind you this morning that we can wait in full confidence, just like a child on Christmas Day. We can wait in full confidence, knowing that God's promises never disappoint. God's promises never disappoint. You might have been disappointed on your Christmas growing up. You might even feel disappointed right now, already in the holiday season. Wherever you're at, God's promises never disappoint. We can wait on God, and we can be confident in that waiting, because his promises never disappoint. And that child that came in a manger proved that his promises never disappoint. The nation of Israel had been waiting. They've been waiting. And the Savior, the Messiah, comes. Now, it didn't look exactly the way they wanted it to look like. But we could wait on God, and we could put our faith in Jesus, because that promise is never going to disappoint us. Jesus came to earth in the form of a baby, not in a big mansion, not in a big palace, not in an amazing outdoor amphitheater, whatever you want to think of. No, he came into a manger, in a stable. And many scholars think it was even more kind of a crummy place. It was even more like a cave, the real deal. A cave on the side of a hill. And can you think of a more humbling place that a Messiah, the Savior of the world, would enter into as a baby, a helpless little baby in a crummy little manger? Our Savior entered into our mess right away, into our sin, lived the life we could never live. He lived perfectly in obedience to the Father when we could never live perfectly in obedience to him. He went to the cross for our sin, for our sake. He took our place on that cross, took the wrath of a holy God for our sin. And then on the third day, he rose again in new life so that we could have new life. I don't know about you, but that's a promise that can never disappoint. It's done. The victory is accomplished. The victory is finished. Jesus said on that cross, all this stuff going on, he says, it is finished. God's promises never disappoint, but his promise hasn't ended with Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. No, we have other promises as well. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we've been promised an inheritance. We've been promised every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, it says in Ephesians. And we've been promised that he's going to come again. We've been promised that he's preparing a place for us. It says this in and let's go to the next one in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, Ron. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has proven his promises don't disappoint through the person of Jesus Christ. That means we can wait in complete confidence, 100% assurance that what we're waiting for, the victory, the complete victory, the complete consummation of the kingdom to come, we can wait in hope. We can wait in joy. We can wait in such a way that others around us look at us weird because they're like, why are you so joyful? We can wait. We can look in joy in a time of 24-hour news when things are just thrown at us left and right. We might feel depressed. We might feel discouraged by the things happening in the world. No, God has made a promise, and his promises don't disappoint. So we've talked about even in the darkness, there is hope. Nation of Israel, for us, even in our dark places, there is hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. We've talked about how God is always working in the waiting. Not to waste, not to just try to jump out of times of waiting, but be in times of waiting, knowing that God is working in our lives. And we've been proven through the person of Jesus Christ that God's promises never disappoint. So we can come to this conclusion. It's really two options for us, okay? And this is, if there's one thing this morning I want you to take away, it's this. You can either wait on God or wish you had. You can either wait on God or wish you had. You can either wait on God and his promises, rest in the arms of a Savior, and look joyfully, just as a child looks joyfully to Christmas Day, we look joyfully to our Savior. We could wait on God, or we could try to take things into our own hands. We could try to be our own Savior. And at the end of time, only wish we had relied on God. Oh, God never disappoints us. He never disappoints us. But it's in these times of waiting that we're called. You can either wait on God or wish you had. And I wish we had more time to go into this part next this morning, but waiting doesn't mean laziness. Waiting doesn't mean slothfulness. Waiting doesn't mean we hide. Waiting doesn't mean living in fear. No, we've been given a mission while we're waiting, haven't we? And I'll remind us of that this morning in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We have work to do while we're waiting. We still have work to do. But it's that work that Jesus has given us that really makes the waiting all worth the while. We get to be a part of the kingdom advancing in the South Metro, in Lakeville, in the Minneapolis metro area, in your families, in your workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever you're traveling that week. No, we have this opportunity while we're waiting for the final consummation of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where his reign and his rule and his authority are fully made known. We have time in that waiting to join him in building his kingdom. And that's what makes it all really worth it. You can either wait on God or wish you had. That's our options. Wait on God or wish you had. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that there's no person in this place, no person listening online, that will get to the end of their lives, who will get to see you face to face and will regret they didn't wait on you. I pray all of us, Lord, that you would build us in times of waiting as you've already promised you would do. Lord, encourage us, strengthen our faith, prepare us for what's next, make us hungry for what's next. May we live in righteousness as we wait. May we engage in the mission you've given us while we wait. Lord, there are so many people. We see it every day. So many people in our neighborhood, in our workplaces, in our schools that seem like they're in a perpetual cycle of waiting and hopelessness. They're in a hopeless state. They're in a lonely state. They're in a depressed state. They're in an anxious state. They're in a fearful state. And though at times we can be in that too, Lord, we still wrestle with our flesh. We know that your promises never disappoint. We could wait in hope. We could wait joyfully knowing that what you've promised is the ultimate reality. Help us this holiday season to not get wrapped up in all the gifts, all the consumerism around us, although it's fun and there's so many good things with that. Lord, you've given us so many good things to enjoy. Lord, I pray we keep you as our North Star, you as our Bethlehem Star, pointing us to you, Jesus. May we keep our eyes on you. May we keep our hearts turned toward you, Lord, this season, as we continue to wait, as we celebrate in the waiting this Advent season of you, Jesus, Messiah, coming to earth to save us. Lord, help us to worship through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.